Mordechai, today's
Boker
a big
Tov,
day.
Amir.
Today's a big day. We finished Masifta 4 and move on to Masifta 5. It's a big day. Okay. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to L'ilui Nishmas Avi Mori, Rav David Tzvi ben Rav Yosef, as well as Chaim Tzvi ben Avraham. Let's try to figure out where in the world we are. Oh, we're on the top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph by the word Gufa. We'll finish up the seventh parak and move into the eighth parak. Says the Gemara, Gufa. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Kol Makom Shamar Rabbi Yehuda a Masai Ubameh b'Mishnasenu. Anytime Rabbi Yehuda is modifying a previous opinion, says, when does this apply? Or Bameh Dvar Mamurim. Eino elo lefarish derei chachamim. He's not coming to argue. He's just coming to explain. Dr. Joe, good morning. Great to see you. Eino elo lefarish derei chachamim. He's just coming to explain the words of the chacham, not to argue. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan says, Eimasai is lefarish, and Bameh is lachlok. Rabbi Yochanan says, Eimasai is to... He disagrees. Emasai is to explain, but Bameh Dvar Mamurim is to argue on the words of the Chachamim. So the Gemara is going to actually ask a question on both of them, because they both agree that Emasai is just coming to explain, and there's no argument. They both agree to that. So now the Gemara is going to ask a question against both opinions. Ask the Gemara, Emasai Lefarishu. Whenever Rabbi Yehuda says Emasai, he's just coming to explain the prior opinion. He's not coming to argue on the prior opinion. Is that really true? V'hatanan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah Sanhedrin? V'elo ein apsulin. The following people are pasul le'edus. Hamesachik b'kovya. If you gamble, you're pasul le'edus. Umalve beribis. If you lend with interest, you're pasul le'edus. Umafriche yonim, you're a pigeon racer, you're pasaleidus. You bet on pigeons, you bet on horses, you're pasaleidus. Vesochere shvius, if you do business with the fruit of Shemitah, these people are pasaleidus. So Amar Yehuda, Emasai, when do we say that a gambler, Misachi Bikovya, a guy who rolls the dice, he plays dice, he gambles, or he pigeon races. They're both examples of gambling. Good morning, Jeremy. Great to see you. Bizman She'ein Lo Umanus Elohi. That's if you're only pusillatus if you're a gambler, if that is your main source of income. Aval Yesh Lo Umanus Shelohi. But if it's just something you do on the side, and it's not your main source of income, Rabbi Yehuda holds. Hareza kosher. He says it's kosher. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds asmachta kanya, that even if you commit to give money based on the dice rolling a certain way, or if you commit to give money based on this particular pigeon winning the pigeon race, or this particular horse winning the horse race, so Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is asmachta kanya. He holds asmachta kanya, and therefore asmachta is not a problem. But Tanakama holds asmachta lo kanya. Now, this seems to clearly hold. He's saying emasai, and yet it seems to be that he's arguing. Says the Gemara, v'tani ala b'braisa. We learned a braisa about this. V'chachamim omrim, bein she'en lo omnes elohi, u'bein she'yesh lo omnes shalohi, Hare's apostle, that the Chachamim hold, whether this is his main source of income, or it's not his main source of income, either way, he's pasaleidus, because the Chachamim hold asmachta lo kanya. They hold that such a kind of transaction where I'm betting and I'm only willing to give you money based on a certain horse winning the horse race, Chachamim hold that's not a good kinyan. You're like a ganav, and therefore you're pasaleidus. This is the whole sugya of gambling, right? Betting on sports, betting on things. Is it mutter? Is it usser? Whole big discussion about it. So, So here you have the machlokas tanan, whether asmachta kanya, asmachta lo kanya. At any rate, you see Rabbi Yehuda argues on chachamim, and it's where we use the word emasai. Answers the Gemara, hahi. So that brisa, de Rabbi Yehuda, amar Rabbi Tarfonhi. Right, that brisa that says asmachta lo kanya, it's not the chachamim of that Mishnah. It's a different chachamim. It's Rabbi Yehuda amar Rabbi Tarfonhi. That opinion, that chachamim, is a different chachamim. It's Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Tarfon. The sani we learned in a brisa. We learned in a brisa that two guys are sitting and they see a person pass by. And they're arguing, is that guy a Nazir or not? And one of the guys sitting there says, I'll be a Nazir if that guy ends up being a Nazir. Because I'm telling you he's not a Nazir. And the other guy says, I'll be a Nazir if that guy's not a Nazir. Because I'm telling you he is a Nazir. So they both don't really know. They're both saying their words misafik. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, La'olam ain echad mehem Nazir. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Tarfon that even after we find out that one of them was correct, neither of them becomes a Nazir. Lefisha ain Nazirus el hafla. That Nazirus only applies if you accept upon yourself Nazirus clearly. You say, I want to be a Nazir. In this case, since you depended your Nazirus on a fact that you didn't really know, so it's not an absolute acceptance, and therefore it's not a good Nazirus. So you see, Alma, Kevin the Mesapkale, since you're not sure whether it's going to come or not, Inazir, Lo Nazir, Lo Meshab, and Navshe, you're not going to be Mechayiv yourself. So Hachanami, so too by gambling, or by horse racing, or by pigeon racing, Kevin the Lo Yade, Yikani, or Lo Kani, since you don't know whether your horse is really going to win the race or not, Lo Gamero Makne, you're not willing to make the Kenyan. So that's that opinion. So really, when Rabbi Yehuda said Amasai, he wasn't coming to argue. He was just coming to explain that opinion. But yeah, there's another opinion. That's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Tarfon who says, Asmachta lo kanya. But Rabbi Yehuda was explaining the Chacham to say Asmachta kanya. So this is the old issue about whether or not it is really permissible to gamble or not. And I'm pretty sure we're Machmir, like the Shita that holds Asmachta lo kanya. Therefore, a person is not supposed to gamble. Football pools, all these things where you put money in and you don't know whether you're going to win or not. It's questionable. Definitely questionable. You got to learn through the whole sugya. It's pretty involved, but you should definitely listen to Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz's 10-minute halacha on football pools and gambling to learn all the ins and outs. I would stay away from them. And I do stay away from them. Part of it is that, thank God, after 53 years, I've succeeded in getting rid of any interest that I ever had in organized sports. I'm proud to say that somehow it came across my desk the morning after, apparently the World Series was this past week. Who knew? Not only did I not know it was, I'm saying I reached a new madriga in my life. Not only didn't I know who won the World Series, I didn't know who was playing in the World Series, I didn't even know it was the World Series. So, who knew? Apparently, the Dodgers won the World Series. Go figure. It's been a long time. I know I couldn't name you one player in the entire major leagues, I don't think. That's the level I've gotten to. I don't think I could name one player in the entire major leagues. Baruch Hashem, it took me a long time to get rid of that. All right. Hadron Alach Chalon. We're done with the seventh parak. Get rid of Masifta Dalid. Moving on to Masifta Hey. That's it. That's 5 out of 5. We made it. We're in the home stretch. Here we go. Says the Gemara. Ketzad Mishtatfin Bitchumin. How do you set up an Eruv Tchumin? So you take the barrel that has food in it. Um, You take the barrel. So why is Erev Tchumen called Erev Tchumen? The answer is because basically I have my 2,000 amos, and then guy in the neighboring city might have his 2,000 amos if it's 2,000 amos away. So taking my barrel of food and putting it 2,000 amos out of the city, I'm mixing together two tchumen. I'm mixing together my 2,000 with it. The word Eruv means to mix together. Ketan mishtafim b'tchumen, meniach es achavis. You place the barrel of food 2,000 amos outside of the city. V'omer, harezel l'chol b'nei iri. I want this tchum to be for all the members of my city. L'chol mi she'ilech l'beis ha'evel o l'beis ha'mishta. I want this to be anyone who wants to go to the Beis Avel, which is in the neighboring city 4,000 amos away, or anybody who wants to go to the Chasana in the neighboring city 4,000 amos away. In the times of the Gemara, they used to make Chasanas on Shabbos to save money, because Shabbos was your big meal of the week. So, and the wedding was a big meal. So they used to make Chasanas on Shabbos to save money. Or maybe it was a Sheva Brachas. Shabbos Sheva Brachas. Sounds like you're only allowed to make a Tchum for a Tzorech Mitzvah. Right? We learned this. That you're only allowed to make an Erev Tchum. The Gemara is going to talk about this. Tzorech Mitzvah. You can't just make an Erev Tchum to take a 4,000 Amish Patsir. V'chol Shekibel Alav Mi Ba'od Yom. Anyone from the town that agreed to join this Erev Tchumen before Shabbos, mutter, mishatech shach aser. But if they only found out about the Erev after it was dark, that's too late. Shein ma'ar mishatech shach. Gemara is going to discuss this. Amar Rav Yosef, ein ma'ar ven el ledvar mitzvah. Rav Yosef holds you're only allowed to make an Erev Tchumen for a dvar mitzvah. Rashi implies here, even if you make an Erev L'Dvar Mitzvah, you're not allowed to use that Erev ex post facto for a Dvar Rishus. Let's say once you made it for a mitzvah, but now once you have it, can you go for a Dvar Rishus? Rashi sounds not that way. However, the smack and the tour, right, not like that. The smack and the tour hold that after you made an Erev for Dvar Mitzvah, you could even walk out for a Dvar Rishus. At the end of the day, that's your new location. The Rambam is even more lenient than the Smak, and he says, even if you made an Erev for Dvar Rishus inappropriately, b'dievet, you're allowed to use it. What's the reason for Rav Yosef that you're only allowed to make an Erev L'Dvar Mitzvah? Because Me'ikar Adin, a person's only allowed to walk 2,000 Amos. The rabbis were lenient by allowing you to make an Erev to rely on the bread. But the rabbis only wanted to be lenient for a Dvar Mitzvah. According to this, Rabbeinu Yohanan writes, that's only with food. That's only if you use food. The whole requirement that you're only allowed to make an Erev Tchumen for a Dvar Mitzvah, that's only if you use food. However, if you are actually there yourself, if you are there 2,000 amos outside the city yourself, so then that Erev works even with Dvar Rishus. Because that's Me'ikar Adin. That's where you are now. That's where you are. However, Taisus and Psachim writes there's no distinction. Even if it's you yourself out there, you're not allowed to make an Erev L'Dvar HaRishus. Okay. Let's continue. Now, what's considered to be a Dvar Mitzvah? So in Shulchan Aruch, just like it's mutter to go to a Beis Avel or to a Chasana, so too, if you want to go visit your Rebbe on Yontif, Because we know there's a halacha, chayv adam lahakbil p'nei rabo beregel. You're supposed to visit your Rebbe on Yontif. Even to go take a walk on Yontif or Shabbos, if you have simcha from taking a walk on Yontif afternoon, every Shabbos afternoon, my wife and I take a walk. I don't know what we're going to do this Shabbos. But if that's part of your onik Shabbos, listen to this. Mordechai is going to love this one. Listen to this. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you know, he didn't have any kids. Lubavitcher Rebbe used to spend 1.5 hour every single day, 4 to 4.30 at noon, only talking to his wife. A half hour he used to talk to his wife. Lubavitcher Rebbe said, the half hour that I spend every single day talking to my wife is just as important to me as when I put on tefillin in the morning. That's what he said. The half hour a day that I spend talking to my wife is as important to me as my putting on tefillin. Anyway, so if you enjoy taking a walk on Shabbos afternoon, that's part of your onik Shabbos. That's also called a Dvar Mitzvah. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Wow. Fascinating. Okay. Says the Gemara, my Kamashulon, what do I need Rav Yosef to tell me this? Isn't that what the Mishnah says? Tanina, l'chom mishel beis eivel l'bais ha-mishteh. Says the Gemara, no. You don't have a riot from that. The missions are telling you usually why people make it, but not that you have to do it for that reason. Kamash one, Rav Yosef says, no, it has to be only for a Dvar Mitzvah. You can only make an Eruv if they accept it upon yourself before Shabbos. Shabbos be not. Ein Brera. Can we prove from this statement of the Mishnah that we don't apply the rule of Brera? Because remember, what's Brera? A retroactive determination. Why can't you say if somebody from the town made an Eruv and you didn't hear about it? Now Shabbos morning you hear about it, say, oh, I really wanted to go also to the Chasana. I just didn't know that he made an Eruv. So why don't you say Brera that retroactively it becomes like I joined it beforehand? D Yesh Brera. Tigli Muslim Afred, Modium Havanichle, Amravashi, no. Hodiyu of Lohodiyu, Katani. Brera would only work if he knew about the Erev before Shabbos, but he just didn't know where the wedding was. So then you could say Brera. But here we're talking about a case where the guy didn't even know the Erev existed. So, if he didn't know the Erev existed, it's not Brera won't help. Because you can't say that my das was on it all along if he didn't know it was there at all. He didn't even know it was there. So the Rishonim talk about this. Why can't you say Brera even in that case? It's a discussion. Let's continue. Amar Rav Asi, Katan ben Sheish, Yotze be'erev imo. A Katan who's 6 years old or less, doesn't need his own Erev. It could be Yotze with mommy's Erev. Even if he doesn't have a chelik in the food, he's Yotze with mommy. Because a katan under 6 years old is always with his mommy. Therefore, he goes along with mommy's Erev. Meisi vei. I'll ask you a question from a braisa. Katan should tsarach li'imo, Yotze be'erev imo. Vishe ein tsarach li'imo, ein Yotze be'erev imo. So what's the definition? Tzarech l'imo, what age is that? T'na nami, gabi sukkah, ki ay gavna, katan she'en tzarech l'imo chay b'sukkah, midrabanim midin chinuch, once a katan no longer needs his mommy, that's a katan who's chay in sukkah midin chinuch. V'havino bo, v'ezeu katan she'en tzarech l'imo, amri, devei rabbi yanai, kol shenifne, ve'en imo mekan chaso. When he goes to the bathroom, he doesn't need his mother to wipe him anymore. He's toilet trained. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Omer, Kol Shaner Mishnas Veina Kari Ima. When he wakes up in the middle of the night, he doesn't call out for his mother. Says Gemara, Ima Salkadaitach. He doesn't call out, Ima. Gedolim Nami Karu. Sometimes even if they're older, they call out the mother. Ela Ema Kol Shaner Mishnas Veina Kari Ima Ima. He doesn't incessantly, without stopping, call for his mother. That's Eina Tzarech Lima. Okay, Shkark, so what age is that? Vikama. What is the age that a child is toilet trained or the age that a child doesn't incessantly call for his mother? Kivar Arba, Kivar Chomesh. four or five. Each child, according to when he gets there. Around four or five. So, at any rate, we see Ein Tzarich L'Imo is four or five. So, that's a question against Rav Asi, who said that it's six. Six and below. Here you see it's four or five and below. A range of four or five, but not six. Answer the Gemara. Amar Rav Yeshua Berei de Rav Idi. You're right. Once a kid's 5 years old, he's no longer Tzarich L'Imo and doesn't need his mom and is not Yotze with his mom's Erev. Even Rav Asi agrees to that. Ki kama Rav Asi, why did Rav Asi say six? Kigon, she'ir v'lov aviv l'tzafon v'imo l'darom. He was talking about a case where dad made an Erev for the six-year-old to the north and mom made an Erev for the six-year-old to the south. Dad said, I'm taking the kid to go learn with me to the north. And mom said, I'm taking the kid shopping to the south. Da'afilu bar sheish nami b'tzavsa d'ima nichale. All Rav Asi meant to say is that if the kid is 6 year old, is choosing between his mother and his father, he'd more rather hang out with his mother. If he's 6 years old, even though he's not Tzarich L'Imo, he'd rather be with the mom than the father, and therefore, the Chachamim say that the mom's Erev works for him and not the dad's. I don't understand, but I thought you said that if he's more than five, he can't use the mom's Erev at all. How does that answer the Kasha? You hear my problem with this? How's that answer to Kasha? I thought you told me that that once you, everyone really, once he's 5 years old, he's not Tzarich L'Imo, he's not Yotze with his mother's Erev. He has to have a separate Erev. When Rav Asi says that he's Yotze with his mom's Erev, he's going to right. You're right. This is talking about where dad made an Erev for him. Again, yeah. Dad made an Erev for the kid to the north, and mom made an Erev for the kid. Yeah, the kid needs a separate Erev. Yeah, so you got a separate Erev, but the two parents made two different Erevim for the kid. That's the problem. Yeah, so he follows the mom's Erev. That's what he means. Macy Vale, ask you, Kasha. Katan shit Tzarich L'Imo. Yotze be'Erev Imo. Vikama ad ben sheish. Wait a second. This is a question on everybody. That katan shet tzarich l'imo, up until 6 years old, he's considered tzarich l'imo. T'yufta de Rav Yeshua bar Rav Idi t'yufta. Someone says, you're right. This brisa shows Rav Yeshua Barei de Rav Idi, who said four or five, is wrong. Says the Gemara, Lematev t'yufta Rav Asi. Is it a question against Rav Asi also? Because Rav Asi said, once you're six, you're no longer Tzarich L'Imo. He's like, no. I'm Rav Asi, no. Ad v'ad b'chlal. No. The Braisa meant, up until six, including six, he could still be under mommy. Says the Gemara, what about Rabbi Yana and Reish Lakish? Lema tevet yifted to Rabbi Yana and Reish Lakish. Is this Braisa a question against Rabbi Yana and Reish Lakish, who said, Ein Tzarich L'Imo means once the kid is toilet trained, or he doesn't yell ima ima in the middle of the night. That's more like a 4 or 5 year old. And here it says six. That until six. Like Kasha. No, it's not a problem against them. Ha de ise avue b'masa. Ha de lo ise avue b'masa. When did Rabbi Anai and Reish Lakish say that it depends on toilet training or yelling mommy mommy in the middle of the night? That's if the father is in the city. If the father is in the city, so then, once he's 4 or 5 years old, he's no longer karach after the mom. Rather, he's already hangs out with the dad. So he's not called Tzarech Le'imo anymore. The Braisa that says that until six, he's Tzarech Le'imo is if the dad's not around. Delo isi avui b'masa. So if the dad's not around, it's going to take longer for the kid to grow up. If the dad's around, so the dad will train the kid and the kid will grow up quicker. But if the dad's not around, it's going to take longer for the child to grow up. He's going to be more immature. He's going to be Karach Achar Imo all the way until six. Fine. Now, we learned earlier that I'm not allowed to make an Erev Tchumen for you if you don't know about it. Because Zachin Ladam Shlo Bafanov Ein Chavin Ladam El Bafanov. So now, now we're going to learn a number of halachas that have to do with making an Erev on behalf of your family. Says Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Ma'arev Adam Ayde Beno Bito Ketanim Ayde Avdo V'Shivchas HaKnanim. A person is allowed to make an Eruv for his younger children or his Eved Kanani, or Mamish like himself, Bein Ladatan, Bein Shelo Ladatan. Even if they said they don't want to join it, he can do it against their will. Because it's Letzorech Mitzvah, since he wants to be Mechanech, his little kids for the Mitzvah, he's allowed to go against their will, even if they're under Bar Mitzvah. Wow. So says the Rashba and Tosis Arash. And Rabbi Yon says he's Nerishus. What about an Eved Kanani? Is Gufo Kanui? Okay. Fine. Says the Gemara, Aval Einum Arev Lo Ayidei Avdo V'Shechas Ivrim. But you're not allowed to make an Erev against the will of your Eved Ivri. And you're not allowed to make an Erev Tchumen against the will of your kids who are over Bar Mitzvah. And you can't, if your wife doesn't want to join your Erev, you're not allowed to make an Erev for your wife against her will. Elamidata. Only if they know about it. But if they're not interested, so we said before, Erev Tchumen, you can't do against, because maybe the wife wants to go to the left and you want to go to the right. Tani Yidei, because it's another Braisa. Lo Yarev Adam Al Yidei Beno Bidag Dolom Vayidei Avdav Vishchaso Ivrim Velo Ayidei Ishto Elami Datan. Only if they want it. But if they don't want it, it's not a good Erev. Aval Ma'ariv Hu Al Yidei Avdav Vishchaso Aknanim Vayidei Beno Bidag Tanim Bein ledatan, bein shelol ledatan, even against their will. Mipnei sheyadon ki yado, by an Eved Kanani, you own them. So you could decide where their place of residence is going to be for that Shabbos. V'chulon sheirvu, v'irv aleim rabban, yotzim asher rabban. Even if they made their own Eruv, and you made an Eruv for them, so then they got to listen to yours. Chutz min ha'isha, mipnei sheichol limchos. Says the Gemara, wait a second, why is a woman any different than your elderly children? Isha ma'ishna, why is a woman any different than your children over Bar Mitzvah? And it's the Gemara, Amar Rabba, no, isha v'chol d'damila, right. Isha and the Eved Ivri, and my older kids, all the same halacha that you can't force them. Amar mar, chutz min ha'isha mipnei sheichol limchos. Taima demachi. Sounds like the only time I can't make an heir for my wife is if she doesn't want it. She's mocha. Hastama nafka b'debala. But if she sounds like if she doesn't protest, so then she's yotze with my eruv. Says Gemara, wait a second, but Haktani Reisha, but we learned in the Reisha, Elamidatam, that it's not enough if she's quiet. My love, Da'amri in. Sounds like she has to actually actively say yes. However, from the safe, it sounds like as long as she doesn't say no, it's good enough. So which is it? Does she have to actively say yes, or is it good enough if she just doesn't say no? Answer the Gemara, lo. My Elamidatam Ishtiko, even if she's quiet, it works. La fuke echad amri lo. As long as she doesn't say no. So the Gemara says, no. Aha, ask the Gemara, ha, v'chulan she'irvu v'irlin rabban,
Yotze Mishal Rabban Ustamahu. Sounds like Uktani Chutz Min Aisha Delo Nafke. Sounds like when she's quiet, it doesn't work. Answer the Gemara Amarava. Kevin Sheirvu Ein Lecha Micha Gadol Mizeh. No.
If she makes an Erev in the other direction, that's called she protested. Obviously,
that's like saying no.
However, if she's quiet and she doesn't make an Erev in another direction, that would work. That's called agreement. Fine. Let's continue next Mishnah. Kama Hushiuro. How much food do you need for the Erev Tchumen? Mazon Shtei Seudos L'chol Echad Ve'echad. You need 2 meals worth for each person that you're making the Erev for. Now, okay, there's a lot to talk about here. Why is it 2 meals? Because it's Suda Shabbos, a night and day. So says the Meiri. The Achronim say, don't you have to eat 3 meals on Shabbos? Shal Shudas?
We had Rabbi Akiva in Gemara Shabbos that said a person should be better to be an ani than to be some kind of tamcho even on Shabbos.
Yeah, so what? I don't understand. What? Yeah, so what?
Meaning 2 meals would be sufficient according to that Shitas.
Really? Came in a while, it really should have been 3 meals. So the Achronim say, even though it's a mitzvah to eat Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos, but mitzad sorcheh haguf shel adam dailo, that's still considered to be enough of a revelation into your house. Interesting. 2 meals is enough. Says the Mishnah, how much is this? Mizono l'chol v'lo l'shabbos. It's got to be a weekday meal, not a Shabbos meal. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. L'shabbos v'lo l'chol. V'zeh miskavnin l'hakel. They're both intending to make smaller meals. One of them says, Rabbi Meir holds that on Shabbos you eat more. Rabbi Yehuda holds on Shabbos you eat less. Why? Because it's 3 meals, you got to save room for the third Shabbos meal. I don't know about that. I think most of us would say we would eat more on Shabbos, I would assume. Rabbi Yochanan ben, the Gemara's going to talk, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Kikar bepunjon me'arba son besela. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, if you do the math, it turns out to be the loaf of bread, meaning one loaf would be the amount of wheat that you could purchase with a punyon when 4 sar purchased with a sela. You do the math, it turns out to be a half a kav. Rabbi Shimon Omer, shtei yodos l'kikar. He says, mazon shtei sudos is 2 loaves, mishalosh l'kav. 2/3 of a loaf when 3 loaves come from 1 kav. So, meaning each loaf is 1/3 of a kav. So it turns out that 1 suda would be 1/9 of a kav. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says it's half a kav, and Rabbi Shimon says it's 1/9 of a kav. Much less. That's what 1 loaf would be. Chetzia, half a loaf, l'bayis ha-menuga, is the amount of time that you would eat half of such a loaf. If you'd be in a house that has saras, your begadim would become tummy. V'chatzi chatzi, and 1/4 of such a loaf, lifsol sagvia. That would be enough if you ate that you would become tummy. If you ate food that was tummy, 1/4 of this shear would make you tummy that you couldn't eat truma. Says the Gemara, v'kama mazon shtei seudos. According to Rameen Rabbi Yehuda, how much do you eat on Shabbos of the weekday? Or maybe the Marav, Tarte Rifta Ikaryasa, 2 loaves of a farmer. So 2 loaves of this farmer, that's Mazon Shtei Seudos. Rav Adar Bar Ava Omar, Tarte Rifta Nahar Papiyasa, 2 loaves from the town of Nahar Papa. Questions, who do we follow? Amarli Rav Yosef, the Rav Yosef, Berei the Rava. Avuch, your father, Rava. Keman Svirle. Like, which shita does your father hold? Rav Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Should it be Shabbos or the weekday? Rabbi Yehuda said Shabbos, Rabbi Meir said the weekday. So, Rabbi Yosef said, my father, Rabbi Meir Sfirle, he held like Rabbi Meir that you use a weekday meal which is smaller than a Shabbos meal. Rabbi Yosef said, Ananami, Rabbi Meir Sfirle, I also hold that you should use a weekday Seuda, because the weekday Seuda is smaller. The Iker Rabbi Yehuda, Kashi Hadamar Yinchi Ravcha Lebesima Shchiach. If Rabbi Yehuda is right, it's not true, because people say that that when the food is better, you eat more. So on Shabbos, it has a special food, you can eat more. Since you have very beautiful, sweet-smelling foods, the better the food is, the more you're going to eat of it. So clearly, Rabbi Meir is right that on Shabbos, you'd eat more. So you should use the weekday shear, not the Shabbos shear. A little bit more. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka said that it's the loaf that you buy with a pundion when 4 sa can be bought with a sela, which is a half a kav. Rabbi Shimon said a ninth of a kav. Says the Gemara, Tana with the Braisa, Ukroven devreim lios shoven. Their words are very similar, almost the same shear. What? A half a kav and a ninth of kav is the same thing? What do you mean they're similar? Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Me dummy. Rabbi Yochanan arbasu dasa lakava. It's a half a kav. Rabbi Shimon teisha su dasa lakava. It's a ninth. So what are you talking about? Meaning he said 4 sudas, meaning a quarter of a kav would be one. So mazon shtei sudas would be a half a kav. Says the Gemara Amar Rav Chista. No. Rabbi Yochanan really doesn't say it's half a kav. Rather, it's a loaf that's bought from a store owner with a punyon when 4 sav chitim are sold with a sela. Even it should be half a kav. However, that's the amount that the store owner paid. But when he sells it, he adds the schar tircha, so it's more. Same hand shlish lechen vani. You add another third for the hard work of the store owner. So it turns out instead of being a half a kav, it's a third of a kav. So the Gemara says, okay, a third to a ninth is still a problem. V'akati lamar tisha lamar shis. It's still a difference between a ninth and a third. Like one of them has 9 sudas for a kav, one of them is 6 sudas for a kav, so it ends up being a third. Ela ki'idach d'Rav Chisda, don't like the other thing, Rav Chisda. Amar, same man, mechza l'chanvani. No, the store owner would take even more. So he would take even more for the work. So, it turns out to be a quarter of a kav. It's not a third, it's a quarter. It's getting closer to a ninth, but it's still not there. It says, v'akati lamar tesha lamar tamne. One of them has 9 suitors in the kav, one of them has 8 suitors in the kav. So he said, that's close enough. It's close. Says the Gemara, Kashya d'Rav Chista ad Rav Chista. The two statements of Rav Chista are contradict. One of them, he said, a third for the storekeeper. One of them said, half for the storekeeper. Says the Gemara, lo kashya. It depends who's supplying the wood for the cooking. If the Baal Bayis supplies the wood, then the store owner charges less. But if the Baal Bayis doesn't give wood, then the store owner charges more. We will stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful day. Great Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos, we'll learn the Daf Yomi together. 80 minutes after Shkia. 30 minutes after Shabbos. 80 minutes after Shkia. It's around 7:25 approximately. That's when we'll have the Shem Motzei Shabbos. Have a beautiful Shabbos, everybody.
Have a good Shabbos. Thank you, Rabbi. Have a wonderful Shabbos.